Imagine accidentally taking someone else's gym bag and finding yourself suddenly walking in luxury shoes that transform how the world sees you. This simple mix-up becomes the catalyst for an extraordinary journey in someone else's shoes. Sam Kemp is drowning in responsibilities, caring for a depressed husband who lost his job, raising a critical teenage daughter, supporting aging parents, and fighting to keep her own career afloat. Every morning begins with anxiety exercises as she struggles to keep her head above water. Meanwhile, Nisha Kantor lives in a world of designer clothes and five-star hotels as the carefully curated trophy wife of wealthy businessman Carl Kantor, having reinvented herself from humble beginnings. Their worlds collide when Sam accidentally takes Nisha's gym bag containing expensive red Louboutin heels. On the same day, Nisha discovers her husband has locked her out of their penthouse suite, frozen her credit cards, and begun divorce proceedings. Without her wallet and passport, she's suddenly stranded with nothing but the clothes on her back. As Sam reluctantly steps into Nisha's two small designer shoes, both women are forced to confront the fragility of their carefully constructed lives and discover unexpected strength in vulnerability. Sam's accidental acquisition of Nisha's red Louboutins coincides with workplace challenges, including takeover threats and her boss Simon's undermining behavior. Despite initially twisting her ankle, the expensive shoes transform how others perceive her. Clients who previously dismissed her now pay attention, and the managing director watches intently as she closes deals. The shoes were like a prop in a play, Sam realizes. They made people see her differently, not as a middle-aged woman from the suburbs, but as someone worth paying attention to. When she pairs the shoes with Nisha's Chanel jacket for a meeting with businesswoman Miriam Price, they bond over quality footwear, leading to a private meeting and job offer. This newfound confidence extends to her personal life. She socializes with colleagues, dances again, attracts attention from younger colleague Joel, and discovers strength in boxing classes, punching away years of invisibility. While Sam rises, Nisha falls catastrophically. The morning after losing her shoes, she discovers her husband has orchestrated her financial ruin. She's locked out of their penthouse, her credit cards are declined, and hotel staff who once fawned over her now treat her with contempt. "There's no a la carte?" Nisha asks incredulously at a budget hotel's breakfast buffet, perfectly capturing her disorientation. Carl secretly sold their Chelsea house months ago, froze her Sunray's accounts, and filed for divorce in America to avoid Britain's more equitable laws. Desperate, Nisha takes a job as a hotel cleaner under her birth name Anita, enduring the humiliation of scrubbing bathrooms used by her former social peers while watching Carl's assistant, now apparently his girlfriend, parade around in Nisha's clothes. In this degradation, Nisha finds unexpected support from Jasmine, a fellow cleaner and single mother who offers money and shelter, introducing Nisha to a form of female solidarity she's never known. Behind Sam's overwhelming responsibilities lies another struggle, her husband Phil's devastating depression. Once cheerful, he's now withdrawn on the sofa, while Sam resents his perceived laziness as she shoulders all responsibilities. In therapy, Phil reveals his trauma. His dying father begged him to end his suffering, then died calling him useless when Phil couldn't comply. This secret torment, combined with job loss, has left Phil paralyzed with self-loathing, trapped in what he calls treacle. Phil's story illustrates how mental health particularly affects men who equate worth with provider status. While Sam hears an inner voice urging her to be useful, Phil hears only his father's condemnation. His communication struggles isolate him further. Phil's healing begins when he finally discusses his father's death and starts medication. Small actions, fixing things around the house, bringing home a replacement television, gradually rebuild his self-worth and damaged relationships. When Nisha confronts Sam about stealing her shoes, conflict seems inevitable. Yet they form a reluctant alliance after discovering Liz Frobisher purchased the shoes. Their shared disgust at witnessing Liz abandon a cat in a bin creates an unexpected bond. "Fuck her, we're getting those shoes," Sam declares, rescuing the cat, transforming their relationship from antagonistic to collaborative. A planning session at Jasmine's apartment evolves into genuine bonding over cheap wine and shared confidences. For Nisha, accustomed only to competitive female relationships, this camaraderie is revelatory. Nisha couldn't remember the last time she'd laughed like this, without calculation, without wondering if she was being too loud or whether her makeup was smudging. When Sam's house is ransacked, the women rally around her, helping secure a better position with Miriam Price. The deepest connection forms between Nisha and Jasmine, who, despite different backgrounds, build a friendship on mutual respect and shared laughter over Nisha's revenge on Carl. Throughout the novel, characters discover that even small acts of rebellion can restore agency and dignity in overwhelming circumstances. Sam's journey begins with simply wearing shoes that don't belong to her. When humiliated by boss Simon, she throws her sandwich at the wall, a cathartic release of suppressed anger. Her most significant rebellion occurs when she finally confronts her demanding parents. After years of cleaning their house while enduring criticism, Sam declares, "This is the last time I'm going to clean for you," providing cleaning service numbers instead. Her door slam symbolizes her refusal to remain everyone's unpaid support system. Nisha rebels by feigning language barriers with hotel guests and maintaining a threatening demeanor. Her ultimate rebellion is confronting Carl about the shoes while secretly reporting his diamond smuggling operation. "I was playing the long game," she explains. "He would never have left us alone otherwise." Even secondary characters find power in small acts. Andrea fakes a collapse as a distraction, while Jasmine's persistence in creating a loving home despite financial struggles represents quiet defiance against societal expectations. As the story concludes, both protagonists discover fulfillment comes from authentic connections rather than possessions or status. For Nisha, this crystallizes when she learns her Louboutins were Carl's diamond smuggling vessels. "I don't even care," she says, examining the shoes. "They're a game to him, a way to keep me running around. They are the perfect summation of our marriage." Her priorities shift from recovering her designer lifestyle to reconnecting with her son Ray and reclaiming her authentic self. Sam needs to rediscover her worth amid constant demands. She reconnects with Phil once he demonstrates genuine effort to address his depression. "I don't blame you, Sammy," Phil tells her. "I just know I want to be better. I want my wife back." Both women end with clearer priorities. Nisha reunites with her son, abandoning her pursuit of status. Sam begins a job where her talents are recognized while rebuilding her marriage on equal terms. The diamonds Nisha leaves for her friends symbolize this transformation. What once represented material wealth becomes a token of friendship, the true treasure discovered.